reading this morning is from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall come forth instruction in the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thanks, Bob. Message today is hope a little higher. Hope a little higher. I want to start with a me story because I'm best at talking about myself. Can't be helped, egomaniac that I am. This is a story about the house that Eileen, some of your kin live in down there across from the, what do they call it these days, Wilson Farms? Used to be the Sugar Creek. I lived in that house from third grade till, sixth or seventh grade anyway. I went through puberty in that house. Yeah, it was an ugly thing. Yeah, was it? Trust her, she knows. She knows. It was an ugly thing. But that house came up for sale just a little while after we had first moved back to town. And so I went and walked through it, which was cool. All the rooms were smaller. They had been huge when I was a kid, and suddenly they're smaller. And there's a ramshackled garage back behind. And I walked back there. And, you know, I hadn't lived in that house in like 25 years. And when you go somewhere that was so familiar to you at one time, you want to see some remnant of yourself. You know, you want to see that there's still some evidence that you had ever been there. And when I walked around behind the garage, there were these two orange metal brackets about 10 feet up on the back of the garage. The backboard had long ago rotted away, and who knows what happened to the basketball rim and net. But those two brackets, those had been mine back there in the back of the house. And that was cool to see that. Because when I was, probably in fifth or sixth grade, I wanted to be a basketball star. Don't have the height for it. Sadly, I don't have the talent for it either, but when you're that age, you can hope and pretend anything you want. And so that was my hope. And I would be back there with my basketball. The ground wasn't even. It wasn't paved or anything. So I couldn't really dribble much. But I could pretend there were just a few seconds left. And there I was, point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers, of course. And I would throw up that last second shot. And inevitably, it would miss. But I would be fouled. So then I would go to the line and inevitably, I'd miss the foul shots, but then I'd get the rebound and throw it up again, and inevitably, I would miss and be fouled again. And 4 seconds of time, it was like there was a Russian timekeeper for it. It kept going and going and going, stringing it out until I finally met my hope and miraculously won the game single-handedly right before the sunset, usually. And that was the hope of a 9 or 10 year old. That was the hope. I had other hopes back then too that were weightier matters in my life. And you know, at that point in that house, my two brothers were gone. It was Wendy and I, and she was dating. Didn't like the guy she was dating, but that's neither here nor there. And so it was me. It was just me. My dad was injured. He hadn't fallen out of a computer chair. He'd actually fallen off the back of a manure spreader. But he's come up in the world in terms of the things he sits on. But But at any rate, I was a lonely kid, you know, and when you're in sixth or seventh grade, you are a lonely kid. It doesn't matter who you are and how many friends you have. You're a lonely kid. And you feel like the thoughts you have, you're the only one that has them, and there's something wrong with you. And truth is, there's nothing wrong with you that's not wrong with every other sixth or seventh grader too. But you don't know that truth when you're in the middle of it, do you? You remember your adolescence. Remember what that was like? And those of you still in it, you can nod your head if you want, or if that embarrasses you, just sit there and pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. And that's fine too. But hope is something that we can aim for things way down here. And typically, I think we do. You know, we hope for little things, normally. Just little things. Like sinking a darn shot when I'm playing in the backyard alone. You know, or making the team. Or, you know, having that girl I like notice me. Finally happened. Those things seem big at the time. Now, we're starting Advent today with one little flame and one little candle. But the hope that that represents is huge. This little flame and millions like it being lit this morning throughout our world are a statement of something much larger, a higher hope, if you will. And Isaiah hints at that hope in the reading we had today. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Jerusalem, in Isaiah's time, the Temple Mount, which was actually a hill. It is actually a hill. And on top of that hill, the temple with its gold-plated dome that the sun would shine on and you could see for miles away. Now, they'd have pilgrimages to this temple where they would walk tens, twenties, thirties, fifties, hundreds of miles to go to the temple. Through the wilderness, through rough roads, the pilgrims would come. And when they cleared that last hill and could see the shine of the sun, the glint of the sun off that temple, well, there's a whole series of psalms that they would sing. It was their hope, and it was pulling them in. It was the place where they went to express gratitude to God and to pray to God, please, please, God, bless our lives. Bless our nation. Bless our families. It wasn't something that they did every Sunday or Saturday or Friday. It wasn't something they did every week. It was something they did a few times a year because the journey was so great for the pilgrim. And it held great meaning for them. Great meaning. But then something happened. Slowly at first. Something happened where going to the temple started to be a burden. It meant hardship and giving up much. And the people who ran the temple, they seemed to be more interested in power than in people. And things started to get really twisted. And no longer were the hungry fed, and widows weren't watched out for anymore. And lepers were just cast aside. People who were sick, who didn't fit in, they're just thrown away. Now, they were occupied by a foreign army, and they were taxed to their limit. And life was hopeless. Hopeless. And if you were a Jew in those days, the psalm you normally prayed asked, how long, O Lord? How long? How long are we going to suffer like this? How long will our religious leaders prostitute themselves for power, for wealth, for prestige? How long will our political leaders turn a deaf ear to our suffering and be so far out of touch with our everyday life that they don't know our struggles and don't care? How long will you, God, just sit somewhere on high and watch this happen? How long? And this is the fertile ground for the brighter, higher hope. This is the ground of the mature hope that can come at age 2 or age 102 or anywhere in between. The coming of the Messiah to the Jew was not a nice holiday. The coming of the Messiah to the Jew was a very real rescue. The coming of the Messiah meant food on my table, safety for my children, meaning for my life. The coming of the Messiah was a profound rescue that all were waiting for. And there was this great hope beginning to form in the land and in human hearts. There was this powerful hope that superseded all other hopes. A higher hope. And when Christ came, some recognized that the hope was fulfilled in him. And some didn't understand when he came and he didn't eliminate the temple priests and he didn't throw out the Roman guard and he dined with tax collectors, the same people who had been their bane all this time, and look at the people he fraternized with. And what they didn't get, some of them, was that the higher hope had to start in their hearts. The hope can't be just for stuff out there. God doesn't work that way. God is personal, infinitely personal. And the higher hope has to start in each human heart. So Jesus came and said, change you, change yourself. And after Jesus left, Paul wrote this. It's our reading from Romans for today. He's writing to citizens in Rome, and he says, besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision to gratify lesser desires. Our hope today should be the same as that hope before the birth of Jesus. It should be that close to our tongues to being spoken. It should be that consuming of our hearts within. Our hope today, with the words of Paul, will be to pursue the light and the right and what is best in our lives, in our world. Now, that means personally, we don't settle for lesser things. If our life is hollow, a shell of what it should be, it means we do the hard work of looking at our lives and coaxing forth deeper meaning, better things. Not the darkness that we feel, not the despair that we feel, but the light and the right that can come. A higher hope. A higher hope. It means that Christmas. While, like the rest of you, I love watching kids rip open presents under the tree, and to me that's a delightful part of Christmas. But it also means that we are Christmas people. And we tell the story. We tell the story of the hope that comes with Jesus. The story of the hope that comes with a God who wants to be so intimately linked with our shoddy little human lives that God herself would come down and put on human flesh and experience the world as we experience it. The hope that was represented by that candle right now is a flame that should be burning in each of our hearts. It is a deeper hope than anything else that we have on our plates. It is a hope that we might be ready to welcome Christ in. A hope that we might be Christ to each other. A hope that even in a world of chaos, difficulty, and conflict, love and peace may reign. A hope that even if we can't sink the jump shot, even if we can't meet our piddly little dreams, that there's something better and something greater out there that is going to be handed to us, given to us, if we'll only open our hearts and our eyes and allow ourselves to look for it. Amen.